It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life for evermore. So Sam, do you want to come up? And we'll just pray before you speak. Heavenly Father, thank you that Sam could be with us this morning, and we thank you for all you're doing in his life and all the work that you do through him to encourage people and reach out to them in your love. We pray that you would speak through him to us this morning, that you would help us to have open ears, open minds, open hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, great. You all right, guys? Is this for me? Can I have this? That'd be great. I don't want to steal from the judge, but I think I'm not being paid for this, so you owe me $4.50, though. Sorry, I find it really hard to take life seriously. Right, I know we've just prayed, but I actually want to pray again before we start, because is that too loud? Is that really loud? It is, isn't it? Never mind. Because I really believe that nothing good ever happens without praying for it. Without praying loads for it. Like loads and loads and loads. You know, actually Jesus prayed before he saved your life. You know, like before he died, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed, and then he went and saved your life. He prayed before he did everything. So I just want to pray. Father, I just want to pray for all of us. Not really just for me. I want to pray for all of us today that you will, through me I suppose, but I just really want you to come and speak to us today. I really want you to be with us today. I really just want to communicate with you. I just want you to heal us, Lord. I want you to bring us closer to you, closer than we have ever been, Lord. In the name of your Son, we do this for your Son, Lord, for his kingdom. That's why we're here today, Lord. Amen. I don't normally look like this, by the way. I've been in the sun all week, so I've got a really red face and really yellow hair. I look like a rhubarb custard. I thought that on the bus. I thought it was really funny. Okay, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew from Hermon, that's a good word, were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It says brothers, but that's because they didn't really acknowledge women then. So it actually means brothers and sisters, because we acknowledge women now. Don't you? I don't know the church very well, so. I often wonder, I really do, I wonder why not everybody's a Christian. Like, maybe it's the quiche. I hate quiche. I know I'm supposed to be an Anglican, you know, I'm supposed to be a Church of England boy, but I hate it, it's horrible. But I don't think it's the quiche. I wonder why we're not all Christians, because everybody is searching for the meaning of life. I didn't put the slide on, did I? Just quickly, that's Psalm 133. And that's wrong. Everybody is searching for the meaning of life. Every single human being is looking for the truth. And we have the truth. That is what we hold. That is what we are about. We have the truth that is the gospel. Yet for some reason, not everybody is in church. This church is not full up. I have 5 churches and none of them are full up. None of them are even half full. It's really embarrassing, actually. Because people come in and they see they're empty and they think we're rubbish, because we are. Because we have the truth. We have the real, real truth. And we're not full up. Now, every single church, every church I've ever been in, every church I've ever visited, every church I've come anywhere near, I'm going to stand still. Every church I've come anywhere near has got the exact same problem. Well, we all have problems. Every church has thousands of problems. I don't know you well enough to say what yours are. But we all have the same problem of infighting. And we all bicker with each other. We spend our time fighting over the stupidest things. And my church does it as well. My church is really at war with itself. Half the congregation want to go really high church and the other half want to go really evangelical. And the ministry team are just trying to work out what the hell God wants us to do. And it's just really confusing. And we do stuff like this. We get someone like me down from another church, from the other side of the city, from another denomination. And we pat ourselves on the back for being ecumenical. Ecumenical is a fancy Christian word that means churches united, Christians united, because Christians thoroughly believe that things have considerably greater meaning if you attach a stupid word to them. Another one I thought of on the bus. But in reality, when I'm gone, you're still going to be fighting. When I'm gone, you're going to keep bickering. I'm willing to bet some of you are going to be upset with what I've said, because I very rarely don't upset anybody. And then you're going to start fighting about a talk about not fighting. Do you see why that's funny? Do you see that? Is that like, it would be funny if it weren't inhibiting the kingdom. But it is. That's the reason that everybody's in church. That's the reason that half the seats in here are empty. It's because we're fighting with each other. Because people don't hear the truth when they come into our churches. They don't hear the truth that is the gospel. They see a group of people that can't get along. They see a group of people that are supposed to be united and refuse to be. They see a group of people wasting their time fighting over the stupidest things and not united in spreading the gospel. You know, this is actually a problem that's been in here. It's been in from the beginning, the very beginning of the church. We've had this problem. I want to tell you, this is 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 to 12, I think. It's on there, probably. I normally put it on there. It says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no division among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. I just want to stop there for a second. It says, you might see in the, I know we added in the punctuation, but actually Paul actually stops to say brothers. He says, I appeal to you, then goes, brothers. He says, I appeal to you, brothers. He wants to make a point of it, because it is a big deal. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no division among you. You may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. And still, another, I follow Christ. This is an old problem. It starts in the New Testament as well. Actually, it starts fighting. It starts before then. But to the church, it starts in the New Testament. But just because it's in the Bible does not mean it's okay. It's actually in the Bible to tell us that it is not okay. That's why it's been put in there. It's not in there to pat us on the back. Every single one of us should be saying, I follow Christ. Every single one of them should have been saying, I follow Christ. I am not an Anglican. You are not I actually don't know what to call a free church. You are not whatever you call yourselves. You are Christians, and I am a Christian. We are not known by the names of our churches. We are known by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is the name that we are united. That's why we're called Christians, so that we are known by His name. It's not just us being clever. It's not just a silly word. It's to be known by His name, to make His name known, to make His name great. That is what we're about. You know, Paul actually had a response to this, and I love the simplicity of it. I absolutely love it. Paul said this to this, straight after this. This is the next verse. Paul says, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? Come on. I like a bit of response. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Whose name were you baptized in? This only works if you play along. Come on, shout it out. Whose name were you baptized in? Christ! Yes, you were. If anyone was not baptized in the name of Christ, we need to fill that font up. I'm serious. I'm willing to do that. I've got all the time in the world. My church doesn't like me. They don't want me back. We're all baptized in the name of Christ. I know we have differences. I know that when you get this many people together, we are not going to get along, because people are just like that. It's been that way ever since the fall. We've just always fought with each other. That's just what we are. And I know what it's like when people in church drive you crazy. I've only been at Holy Trinity, well, Kingswood Team Ministry, because I have five churches, for about four or five months now. And already there are people that I just want to push them off the tower. We've got a really tall tower. Well, no, I wouldn't do that. But if I took them up there to show them a view and they fell, that's not my fault. I wouldn't be responsible. And the problem really is that the church is made up of human beings. So there's someone whose name I've forgotten, and it really annoys me that I've forgotten his name, because I quote him all the time. He said, don't judge Christianity on Christians, judge it on Christ. Because the truth is, when an organization, and it is an organization, it probably shouldn't be, but it is made up of broken people. Even broken people under the under the Lord, even broken people under the Lord Jesus, under broken people under God, it is going to have some cracks in it. It's going to have some holes. It's going to have some problems. It's going to, well, to be honest, it's going to be rubbish because we're rubbish. I like the word rubbish today. I don't know why. You know, we've always fought, ever since the church was started. Even when Jesus was here, we fought. Now, I want to tell you, we're all going to have issues. Someone, every one of you will have an issue with someone else in your church. And if you do, if you cannot stand someone, there's a lady in my church who I'm not going to name because it wouldn't be fair. I cannot stand her. She drives me crazy. She just really annoys me. It's just a face. If you have an issue with someone, don't talk about them behind their back. That's not going to help. That's not going to get you anywhere. Don't develop a faction in the church. Don't turn it into a vision. Go to them. This is what Jesus said. I actually don't think I've got it up there because I've gone off my notes. This is what Jesus said about divisions in the church. He said, if you have a dispute, then go and, it's Matthew 5, somewhere in Matthew 5. If you have a dispute with one of your brothers, go and talk to them about it. Go and discuss it. Go and get together calmly and actually try and reason with them. Don't just bicker. Don't complain about them. Just go to them calmly and discuss it. I'm back on my notes now. Do not let an issue, a small issue, because it's only ever going to be a small issue, do not let it become a division between you. Because that is how the evil one gets into church. He doesn't come in some sort of magical, mystical way. It's not like a big hole opens on the floor and he climbs out like that. He comes in through the front door with you. That's how the devil comes in here. You know, that's also how Jesus comes in here. Do not let him in. Instead, be united in Christ. I want you to do something for me. It's going to be fun. I want you to look at the person next to you. Go on, everybody play along. Come on, look at the person next to you and say, isn't this awkward? He's getting us to do something in church. Isn't this awkward? Oh, this is so uncomfortable. Go on, say that to the person next to you. Say, isn't this awkward? I've wanted to do that for years. That person you just looked at, I need you to remember something about them. Whatever happens, whatever you do to them and whatever they do to you, that person is your brother or your sister in Christ. Whatever they have done, whatever you have done, whatever anyone has done, nothing can separate you. You know, I've got a brother and nothing can separate us. I've tried because he's my brother, because we've got the same parents, because we're blood. Well, that's what Christians are. We're brothers. We're sisters. Well, I'm not a sister. And we are united as a family because that's what we're supposed to do. That person next to you, Jesus loves that person. He died for that person. He went up on the cross and he went like this and he said, I'm dying for that person sat next to me. I'm doing this for them because I love them. He said, Father, forgive them. Just as he said, Father, forgive you. If Jesus loves you, then he must love the person you hate. Remember that. Next time you're talking about someone behind their back, remember that. You have a duty of love to everyone in this church. And if you love someone, if you really love them, you want to get along with them. Jesus said this, whatever you do for the least of these, you did for me. That's when he's talking about serving the poor. I actually think we can expand that. By loving someone, by loving the least of his children, you are loving Jesus. Now I don't really like statistics because I don't really go to school much and I find numbers a bit tricky. But I want to tell you something, there are 2.2 billion, not million, not thousand, billion. That's a good word too. Everybody say billion. Come on. Billion. There are 2.2 billion Christians in the world right now. Can I have a round of applause for that? There are 2.2 billion Christians in the world right now. That is more than there have ever been in the world. That is an absolutely amazing thing. We've just gotten bigger and bigger. From the minute this started, we've gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And there are 2.2 billion of us. The population of the earth is about 7 billion. Do you think God's impressed? Do you think he's impressed with us bickering with each other over stupid things when there are 4.8 billion of his children? 4.8 billion of his children don't even know he exists. Because we're fighting with ourselves instead of telling them. If you had children and they didn't know you existed and there was someone there who's supposed to be representing you, not telling you, not telling your child about you, would you like them? Would you be happy with them? I don't think you would. And that's what our purpose is. That's our mission. That's our focus, is to spread the gospel to those 4.8 billion people that don't know that God exists. Or those 4.8 billion people that don't understand that He died for them, that He loves them, that don't have the freedom that I have, the freedom that you have in Him. And we're not always going to get along. We're not. It's just, we're just not. I don't even need to go into it. But we need to agree on two. It's annoying me. We need to agree on two things. Everything else we can fight with, but we need to agree on two things. It's really cool, isn't it? I really like that. We need to agree that Jesus is the Lord and the Savior. That's number one. That's the first thing we need to be absolutely agreed on. That is not up for debate. I am not here to debate that. I'm not even open to questioning. That's true. Number two, we need to know, we need to be agreed that our purpose is building His kingdom. It is not doing church the way we want to do church. It is building His kingdom. It is not having things the way we like them. It is not having the sort of preaching we like. It is about building His kingdom. That is what we're here for. Now, unity is a funny thing. The first step to unity is to let go of the things that separate us. Just to let go of them, the bitterness that we hold for people. I do this too. I'm sorry if I stood here and made it sound like I'm telling this to you and I don't do this. I really do. I'm really bad for it. Because I get really annoyed with people. Like, just all the time. Because I just really don't like a lot of people. And I hate myself for it, but I don't. We need to let go of the bitterness that forgives. So the bitterness that separates us. Because we need to forgive the people that have hurt us. And it's not easy. It's not easy to forgive people, especially people that have hurt you, especially when your brothers and sisters have hurt you. It's not easy to forgive them, but we need to do it, because people can be cruel, but you need to remember, and I'm not talking about you, I'm not doing that big speaker thing when I say you, and I actually mean all of you, I mean you, the individual you. You have hurt Jesus. You have hurt Him. And you know what He did? This is quite a good illustration of that. You, the individual, have hurt Jesus, and He, when thinking about you, when trying to decide how He's going to react to you, He put His arms out on the cross. And He said, this is Jesus' words, He says, Father, forgive them. That's what He said. And you know, He commanded us to forgive. When He said, Father, forgive them, a bit before that, I can't remember where, He said, He told us to forgive. When He told us the Lord's Prayer, that's what it was, He told us that we need to forgive. If you're holding on to bitterness, I'm doing this with you, alright, because what I'm going to do now is a bit, perhaps I don't really know what you normally do, but what I'm going to do is I want to pray for all of us. Now, this is kind of like an altar call, except that I don't really see the point of doing an altar call, because this is all of us. So I'm actually going to pray for all of us, right? And I'm not going to ask you to stand up, because that's just awkward, and I've already done that once. So I just want to pray for all of us. You know, I just want to, if you, especially you, just think in your heart, the people that you hate, we all have them, just picture that person that you really don't like, right? That one person that really bothers you more than any other person, and just remember that Jesus loves that person. Yeah, just keep that in your mind. Think of all the horrible things they've done to you, all the reasons you don't like them. I just need you to let go of them. I'm just going to pray for us. I know I said that, but I'm actually going to do it now. Father, I just pray, Lord, please, Lord, just take this away from us. We're sorry, Lord, that we're stopping Your kingdom from growing. We're sorry that it's our fault. We're sorry that you don't have to look any further than your own servants to find out why not everybody knows you're here, Lord. Father, just please take these things away from us. Please make us united in your name. Fill us up with your spirit, Lord. Fill us up with your love. Just open us up to your hearts, Lord. Lord, we really want to welcome you here today. I know we're already here, but we just want to welcome you into our hearts so that we can be free from this. Isn't that what we want? We want to be free. Lord, please just make us free from this. Just make us whole. It'd be really great if the worship group could come and start. Get ready to go, because I just want to go from this this feeling. I just want to go from this feeling. Just wait for the Lord to forgive you. Wait for the Lord to free you of this feeling, and then we're going to worship Him. And, you know, most ministry is done in worship, so that's what we're going to do. I'm supposed to say one last thing before we do. Before we worship, I've already said it, but this is really the important thing to me. When you are fighting with someone, when you're thinking bad things about someone, and this is what I'm going to try and do, just remember that Jesus died for them as much as he died for you. Just remember that if he loves you, if God loves you, and he does, believe me, he does, because I've come a long way from what I used to be. You know, I'm actually a recovered drug addict. I started drinking when I was like 11. You know, I've come a long way because of God, and he loves me. And if he loves me, he must love you. And if he loves you, he must love the person you hate. Just remember that when you're fighting with someone, when you're thinking bad thoughts about someone, just remember that God loves them. If we're just going to stand up and worship God together, together, unified. We're going to stand up and do the worship now. Is that okay?
Okay. Everyone can stand together. Start off with, we stand and